This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
It is Long Shots, golf betting podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. My name is Matt Brown. That is Wes Reynolds. That is Kelly Bidlin. I say that as if you're watching us over on our brand new YouTube page, which, by the way, if you are, hello, this is what we look like. Appreciate you. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button down below. Go into the comments. Let's start having some conversations up in this mug. And if you're listening on the audio side, appreciate that as well. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button. We can take a rating and a review. We do appreciate that. Help us climb those charts and more people can find us here on this very podcast. Yes, it is the three-man crew back. Kelly Bidlin has survived. Has marked survived for migraines. You're okay. Right. You marked yourself survived on the Facebooks for migraines.
Yep, that's right. Survived. Questionable tag removed. Back on the pod. Let's go, boys.
There it is. Ready to
and feel ready to
rock
win.
And roll, Wes. You know, I think we were on it last week. I mean, like, you know, I don't feel bad about last week. I mean, official bets. I had a guy that was second and fifth. We had a conversation about why I didn't play Justin Rose because he was too old, and then he runs away with the tournament, which like was pretty brutal with all of that. But you know, I think we were kind of on the player profile, the way that was going to play out. And you know, look, sometimes these guys are saying every week, these guys are really, really, really good golfers, and sometimes a guy's going to go out there and he's going to run hot and he's going to run pure. And that's exactly what Rosie did this past week, just absolutely scorching that tournament at nearly 46 years of age. Hat tip to the old guy. We're all kind of old, so good on that. Hat tip to the old guy out there, but getting it done. But, you know, like I said, there's Cootie sitting there. There's Jake Knapp sitting there. I know you were on some of these guys as well. So, I mean, you know, whatever. All in all, some of the placement market stuff gets us back to about even and whatnot. So I don't feel terrible.
Yeah. First of all, for Justin Rose, by the way, I look at the official world golf rankings. How about this? Number three in the world at 46 years of age. I know some of the live guys, but even if like the good live guys were still there, he'd still be like top 10 in the world. Justin Rose at 46 years old. So 23 under 265. And like you said, Matt, I don't think we handicapped it poorly. Like I had the runner up the week before with Ryan Gerard. Yeah. So it's like, but he wasn't like right there. Cause I know that's probably how you felt with Pearson Cootie, who got there in second. Jake Knapp, T4 rounds out the top five. I had McNealy, who fell the 10th on Sunday. Like I don't feel like we handicapped it poorly. And Tony Finau, by the way, I think that was the video sent out from the pod on the VSiN Twitter feed last week. And I was like, this is going to go badly. He damn near got in the top 10. And actually, that's what won me a very small amount of money was a Tony Finau top 40, which was at like 2.25. And, you know, Finau was right there to get in the top 10. So he actually saved me from having a losing week, even though 0 for 0 on the outright board. But that's what's going to happen most weeks, just to kind of let people know out there when they say, oh, you're 0-8 on futures. It's like, I'm going to be a bad record every single week on outrights unless I go 1-0. Yeah, and, I mean, you know, one hitter quitter.
One guy wins a golf tournament. I just want to let everyone, I want to remind everybody that one guy wins a golf tournament.
Some and do so, need to be reminded of that, by the way. So yeah, public service announcement.
It would have been a good winning week for me if, Kelly, if you scroll down just one little click there, you can see Cam Young and Nikolai Højgaard both T22. They did not finish inside the top 20, which would have made this week a nice winner for me instead of more of a break even lose to the juice type deal, because I had both of those guys. And, you know, look, again, fine performances. It's just, it is what it is sometimes. I mean, you know, the one even par round for both of those guys gets them to where they're outside of the top 20. And, you know, we don't make any money this week, but didn't lose any money either. And so we persevere, we move on. But again, hat tip to Justin Rose. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, you start to hear the stories here, you know, fellas, where he is ever the tinkerer. And I think at being 46 years old, you probably need to do that. He's messing with his clubs. He's got this crazy ritual that he does for his body to make sure that he's getting all the recovery stuff and all of this. I mean, this guy put in, he is not sponsored, by the way, for his clubs right now, because he's a tinkerer. And so, like, I mean, this guy used Myura irons, by the way, for this win, which is like a company that is, you know, inside the Golfnik world and stuff is like known, but certainly not known to the general public and stuff. And it's like, hey, he's going out, he's trying stuff, whatever fits, whatever works for him. And it worked for him this week for sure. And, you know, you see that 70 in round four, he just cruised on the back nine, as he should have on Sunday. Probably could have shot in the 60s, but there was no reason to. So he played it very safe and ends up winning anyway by 7 strokes. And good on Justin Rose. It was a super cool time. I did make it out there on Thursday, was able to watch him have the putt for the course record that he missed. But I was standing there on he finished on 9 on the north course. He started on the back nine and standing there on 9. And everybody was super anxious to see if he was going to be able to shoot the course record. Just missed the putt. But, man, just a really cool scene. So many people out there just like high-fiving him, giving whatever. It's hard. If you watch Full Swing, Wes, I know you did, where it's like it's hard to hate on Justin Rose, man. Yeah. There's not a lot of dudes out there to where – you can't help but like him. And like, mm-hmm. He falls in that category.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, out there, by the way, I know you were out there, Matt, nice weather all week. And if that weather is not a factor, these guys can go super low. Cause keep in mind, second place was what, 16, 17 under par, yeah. Which is, you know, a lot lower than we usually see. We usually see, you know, low teens out there, but no wind, no real weather out there. And even a course like Torrey Pines South, that's a beast at 7,800 yards. These guys, are, like you said, are really good and they can take it apart. Yeah. So, you know, until you start getting like 8,000 yard courses, it's not going to be long enough for these guys.
So we move on from California down to Scottsdale. This is a home game for a lot of guys. A lot of pro golfers live in Scottsdale. A lot of them play together down there in Scottsdale. There's going to be several guys in this field that are very familiar with this course, very familiar with the landscape, very familiar with the weather, and certainly will have a big rooting fan base as well down there in Scottsdale. As Kelly pulls open the odds board, you can see, no doubt about it, we know, yeah, it's a Scotty week, so Scotty Scheffler is going to be your betting favorite, and rightfully so. He is the best player in the world by a long shot right now. It's not even close as to how good Scotty Scheffler is, and so he finds himself kind of in that 225-ish range. I'm looking out in the market right now. You can find a 240 is the biggest price you can find on Scottie Scheffler at the biggest, you know, at the global books out there, at the guys that are available. I mean, I shouldn't say global, nationwide books that are available out there. So you can find Scottie Scheffler about 240. Then it jumps all the way down to Xander, you know, in that like 17, 18, 19, 20-ish range. On Xander Schauffele, Cam Young, kind of in the 20 to 24-ish range. Hideki in the 25 range. Siwoo is somewhere in that 25-ish range as well. And then we're getting into the 30s right off the bat. So, you know, Kelly, if you look at this right off, you know, you see Scottie Scheffler, he's teed it up once. He won the tournament. He is the best golfer in the world by a long shot. We don't even need to tell all of y'all who's number one in our models whenever we get to that. It's going to be Scottie Scheffler. It's going to be Scottie Scheffler by a long shot as well. And so really, you know, let's just go ahead and kick off the conversation here before we even start talking about our picks and all that, which is the discussion we are going to have every time that he tees it up outside of a major where the course is super, super difficult and the field is super, super deep is, do you play the non-Scotty markets? Do you play the Scotty winner without? And like, you know, I'm not going to talk anybody off of doing that. I had couple of my friends text me literally earlier today and say, I don't want to take on Scotty and these numbers in the winner without market aren't that much worse. And I'm like, you know what, man, I'm not going to tell you that to not play that market because there'd be nothing worse than looking up and your guy, like we're just saying, basically from last week, say, let's just say that this was all reversed and like you had a Pearson Cootie outright like I did. Except that name up there wasn't Justin Rose. It was Scottie Scheffler that won by 7 strokes. You're going to feel stupid, right? I mean, it's like, so I'm not talking anybody off of that. I don't know what your opinion is on it.
Yeah, it's, look, if you're betting this every single week, you're betting golf every week like we are, I might have different opinions on it. But if you are a sporadic golf bettor, yeah, man, like, or new to betting golf, sure. Just like take this problem out of the equation. I'm with you, Matt. It's fine. I think if you are like us and you're doing this every week, look, this is my personal opinion. Like you said before, this is, you guess what? It's your money. You spend it however you want. It's just tough when there's, you know, a couple books, right, that they're posting winner without, and it's, you know, you're shopping around other places, and then you're finding maybe within that book, the numbers are pretty fair. Let's say that. But then, you know, you're finding an outright number that's 10 points more than what it, you know, what it was at MGM or Caesars, DraftKings, wherever you're going to bet your winner without. That's where it gets difficult for me, Matt. I mean, I think we've established by now, if you've listened to this podcast for years, we're going to take our swings at Scotty, and we're going to take our L's sometimes. Right. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. You know, talk to Rick Gaiman about this in December. You know, you run the numbers, man. If you bet them every week, who would win you money over the past couple of years? Like, it's Scotty Scheffler and like Nick Taylor. So like, if you want to tell me you're betting Scotty Scheffler every single week, I can't tell you you're dumb. It's just, it's not something I'm going to do.
I miss the good old days of being aboard Scotty Scheffler like 4 years ago here at Phoenix when he was 28-1. Yeah. And that was his first PGA Tour win, by the way. Had to sweat it out, of course, on Super Bowl Sunday. He was in a playoff with Patrick Cantlay. So, by the way, one service announcement that's not maybe betting related. If you're somewhere and you're betting this, this is probably going to go to a playoff. More often than not, I think it's been, I want to get my number right here. It's like
15
nine
of the last 19 years scoring margin has been one stroke, yes, included eight playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was nine time the last 18 years. So you will get this cut in the Super Bowl, because I remember that and sweating a Rams future when it was the Rams Bengals Super Bowl 56. And, you know, Scotty got home at Sahith Theegala, maybe should have won the tournament. And then he found the water at 17, but two-time winner here at Phoenix. So, man, I've been trying to beat the guy ever since. Ever since I landed on the maiden win at 28-1, I've been trying to beat the guy, and I've been getting my butt kicked for the most part when I do try to beat him. So let's try again this week. Let's be stubborn.
Yeah, I mean, like, so again, if you're out there, I always want someone to leave with a positive betting experience. And so if you're someone that would feel bad, so let me just take like Sam Burns, for example. I'm not betting Sam Burns this week, but let's just take Sam Burns. Like, I'm looking at FanDuel right now. He is 30-1 in the outright, and he's 25-1 in the without Scotty. If you think you would feel stupid if Sam Burns won the tournament and you only got 25-1 instead of 30-1, then by all means, bet the 30-1 and whatever. But, you know, again, we're talking 5 points here, and you're removing the greatest golfer. I mean, like, again, I know Tiger obviously is that guy right now. In 5 years, we might be having the conversation. Like, we might be having a completely different conversation if this keeps up with what's going on with this guy right now. I mean, like,
so I could say 5 years.
The depth of the field that he beats on a weekly basis, and I will say this, like, Tiger was better player probably when you just look at the raw numbers, but Scotty teed it up against four or five guys every week. Like, that was it. There were literally only four or five guys that could ever compete with Tiger week in, week out. There are 30 guys that can compete with Scotty week in, week out, and he's still beating their ass. And like, it's just unbelievable. And so again, if you'd feel stupid that Sam Burns won and you only got 25-1 instead of 30, then by all means play the 30.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's that big of a difference basically at the end of the day.
I think you're right, Matt. And let me better explain myself further, because this will show up in my bets this week as well. What I am choosing to do, what my strategy with a lot of these tournaments will be, has been in the past, but especially this week, right? We talked about Scheffler before the Amex, right? And this was one of the things we talked about with Scheffler that week was, look, man, like, you can play him. This really isn't like a Scheffler course, though, right? This is going to raise the floor of everybody that's playing in this event. This course, not so much, right? This is a Scotty Scheffler course. This is a course that is designed, that is perfect in his wheelhouse, that he can go out there and run up a big number. So I get the love this week. What I'm doing, though, is stake down on the outrights. It's smaller outright bets for me. And you know what? We're far enough into the season. The placement bet started last week for me with a little bit more, you know, oomph, and it's going to continue this week. There's some top 10s, top 20s, top 40s, and that's where transitioning to sinking way more of my money into those markets than betting into the outright.
Awesome. All right. Well, Wes, let's talk a little bit here. I mean, it's very rare that we talk back to back, you know, tournaments in which courses that I have played all both of Torrey courses, and I played this course as well. And let me tell you, this course is a lot different when you play it without all the grandstands and yes. all the stuff up there. Like, I mean, bro, you get there and like, you're like looking around, you're kind of like, this just looks like any other golf course. I mean, yeah. like they built so many like hospitality areas and so many, cause I've been to this tournament just as a spectator three times too. And so it is like, you go to play it when all the stuff's down and you're just looking around, you're like, what the hell is this? like, what is going on here? You know, but there will be a bunch of grandstands and honestly, they'll come into play. I mean, like they're so close. There's so many hospitality areas and they're so close to a lot of these holes. Like there'll be stuff in the desert. There's also gonna be stuff where you're like, you're just bouncing it off these tents and stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this is a party as you know, yeah. Matt, having attended this, and it's going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. Some guys embrace it and some guys hate it, which is maybe why they don't play it necessarily. But stadium course at TPC Scottsdale, Tom Weisskopf designed, Jay Morrish as well. 7261 par 71. Little bit above sea level, so the ball will travel a little bit further, but only around 2%. This, by the way, and we'll get to it when we get to like the modeling and the stat breakdown, driver heavy course. You're going to hit driver here just because of the way the course is laid out. Fairways are pretty average. The rough's not all that penal, so you can miss fairways and be okay here. 12 on the stamp, Poet and Triv Rye overseed, actually Ben overseed. Pretty large greens too, but very similar to what you'd see at like Sawgrass or PGA West Stadium or TPC San Antonio in terms of type of greens. You do have 5 water holes on the layout, despite this being a desert golf course. Not a lot of bunkers here on this course either, because you have those waste areas that you talked about, Matt, that you kind of hit into. So you can hit into some really tricky stuff here. Front nine, pretty straightforward. Back nine's where it gets fun. You got that par 5 with the island green, the 15th. And then, of course, 16 is where the famous grandstand is, where we all remember Tiger hitting the hole in one and the crowd going ape shit, you know, pumping his fist. Simple hole, by the way, but, you know, it is intimidating, even though the horse looks the hole looks really simple. It's intimidating just because of the grandstands. And then the par 4, by the way, the 17th is a drivable par 4, 332. So, you know, they're going to be egging you on and say, hey, go for it. But if you don't, if you lay up, you could have an easy birdie opportunity here. There's a lot of risk involved. I remember Sahith Fagala, as I mentioned 4 years ago, he hit it in the rocks and went right in the water. And then the closing hole, par 4, water down the entire left side. A lot of players can find that too on 18. So it is a good finishing sequence, even though the course, like you mentioned, is pretty, you know, non-distinguishable. Until you get to the end here. So we'll see if the weather plays any havoc. Doesn't look like it's going to. It looks like little rain, no wind. So this is going to be firm and fast conditions like it usually is here in Phoenix.
Kelly, as you were looking at the course just in general, anything stood out to you that you wanted to make sure that you were like, oh, you know what? I know I've modeled this a couple different times and know whatever, but like, this is something about the course that stuck out to me that I want to make sure to kind of earmark this year.
Yeah, I was, I would say I was pretty quickly flying through this week, kind of had some golfers in mind, kind of thought that they would pop. They did. I was pretty quickly moving on to make bets. And you know what? I did. I kind of got stopped in my tracks, Matt, did update kind of models from the past and stuff. It just breaking down some of the numbers more, man. This is, I think this tournament can be I don't want to say mischaracterized, but misidentified a little bit of just a heavy off the tee approach course. And it's, man, you look at some of the around the green numbers and scrambling and stuff that has really come into play way more than I would have guessed just until I kind of dug into stuff a little bit more this year. I don't know. I just kind of wanted to say that off the top. Yes, we're going to focus on ball strikers. Yes, I'm focusing a little less on putter this week than I normally do, but this is, I think it's the true test throughout the bag, and I think kind of one of the first ones that we're seeing this year. So I had to update models a little bit, nothing huge changing, but just wanted to say that because I think there's probably a lot of content people are listening to this week where it's like, drivers, and approach, and we're good.
Yeah, I think there's also like golf snobs out there, like always shit on like these PGA courses and stuff and whatever, and so, I mean, TPC courses.
Yep.
And like, This is a pretty cool course, man. I mean, like, if you get out there, like, it's pretty cool. There's water, there's challenges, there are different things, like whatever. Like, I don't know, man. I get it. Like, you belong to a fancy country club, and you get what I understand. I get all that. You've played, you know, a million fantastic course. Cool. But I mean, this course is not a complete dud. And I think it gets kind of a bad rap when it comes to all that, but it's a pretty cool course. And there's certainly some tests here for these guys, even if we do see some of these dudes go low. There are dangers. There are hazards. There are things out there that we will.
And there's much history here too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is a historical event. You've had a lot of great players win here over the years, you know, Jack and Johnny Miller and Phil, Scotty Scheffler. You've had a lot of really good players win here. It's been organized by the same organizing charity, because all these events have some kind of charitable beneficiary, the Thunderbirds. And they've been doing this since 1973, where it's been held opposite the weekend of the Super Bowl. So there's a lot of history to this event. Even though this is not a signature event, you got 11 of the top 20 in the world rankings here. So despite the fact that Scotty is a massive favorite, and I think like plus 240 as we record here, You got a good group of players here, and you usually do here in Phoenix.
No, absolutely.
And just just to bring up kind of past results, like, okay, it's been past 2 years, Thomas Dietrich and Nick Taylor, right? Sure. Not the biggest names, not the biggest stars on the PGA Tour, but you're talking Scotty Scheffler, Brooks Koepka, Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, Gary Woodland, Hideki. I mean, that is major winner, skip over Ricky Fowler, whatever. Still big name. That's a lot of majors in also not into the 20s, right? These are in the teens. This course usually plays a little bit tougher than, you know, mid-20s. So it just, you know, it usually is a class name that wins here.
And like you mentioned, you mentioned Ricky or whatever, and like, but Ricky plays awesome here. Ricky plays great here. And obviously it kind of fits his personality. You know, one with the fans, they go nuts for him.
They love him.
Yeah,
I love it.
I mean, just one of the fan favorites, all of that and everything, you know, and it just kind of fits him and all of that as well. So, yes, it is certainly one of those deals where it doesn't surprise me that he's on that list with all of those absolute studs, as it is, too. But Wes, as we kind of like break this all down here, you know, from a course perspective and all of that, like, what are we looking for here? What are we looking at? What type of player is going to fit what this course brings?
Yeah, and traditionally it's experience. 16 of the last 19 have played at least twice here. 14 of the last 15 had a finish of seventh or better in one of their five starts leading in. So it's usually somebody that's playing well. A lot of the guys have been young. Not as many veterans as we get, of course, with Justin Rose winning at 46. We have more veterans there at Torrey Pines. A lot of younger guys here. 19 of the last 23 have won here that they're, I believe, under 34 years of age. So, and mostly experience. Like, Dietrich was kind of an outlier where he won his first PGA Tour win. 13 of the last 17, by the way, have had three career wins at least. So Kelly mentioned some of the names and some of the previous winners here, and I always like to include that. We've had Scotty and Brooks, Webb Simpson, Fowler, Woodwin, Latsuyama, Phil Mickelson, go back to Hunter Mahan, who had won several events in his PGA Tour career. So you're usually getting experienced guys, but that doesn't mean that some young lion can't really play well here. It usually is, but it's usually a very good leaderboard here on a Sunday.
I went, you know, Kelly, with all the things that Kelly said, or I will say, I did go driver heavy.
I did, me too, in my
model, you know, with all of that, pretty heavy in, you know, we're looking good drive percentage, total driving, all of that. Certainly went pretty heavy there. I want par five scoring. I want birdie or better. I want opportunities. And that's kind of where if you're just joining us, we're going to play approach every single week. Like, I mean, that there will be a very rare occasion where we don't prioritize approach. That there are very, very few courses where we don't care about that as much. But I mean, obviously approach is always going to be a big thing. So that's why I'm just mentioning these other deals that are around here. A little bit of around the green with that. And that is pretty much it for me. A I tried to go somewhat basic model here and not get too incredibly into the weeds, because I went back and looked over my previous models, and I think I put in just too many categories when it seems like the type of player is like, can you hit it decently far? Can you hit it decently straight? Are you hitting the greens, and are you giving yourself a chance to score? Like, it seems like the type of guy that continues to finish inside the top 10 here. And so I dumbed it down a little bit this year comparatively the last couple of years. Not saying that's the right way to go. That's just the way that I decided to go.
Yeah, tinkering with stuff. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, despite what I said earlier, that's me kind of adding on. Mine was pretty simplified before, Matt. So yeah, yeah. I'm adding on to mine. But it's pretty much everything you named. Off the tee, driving distance, you're looking for some accuracy off the tee, approach, 150 to 200 proximity, I factored in, opportunities gained, birdie or better, par fours, 400 to 500, par fives, around the green, bogey avoidance. And then the other thing I pumped in a little bit more this time was just tournament history. That was something else. I kind of went down that rabbit hole on fourth most predictive course on tour. And that was definitely higher than I thought it was going to be. So yeah, added that in as well. That's pretty much everything I looked at.
I will say this, Wes, before we get to your stuff. I want to say one thing that I learned here, and this is, you know, you learn something new. We're always trying to learn. We're always trying whatever. I early on, and so I'm doing this intentionally, kind of getting away from the proximity buckets, kind of getting away from like Kelly just said about the like par four specific links and things and whatever and all that, because we have so many new players that have come on to the tour, and so many of these dudes don't get that data. And what it does is like it pushes them way down in the model, right? Yeah, and like it's hard, like, so you have to go in and like you have to then start doing all kinds of like super super digging. Sometimes I think guys get left behind, and some guys, like I'm looking over some dudes at whatever, and it's because there's just not enough rounds for them yet for them to qualify in these certain things, because they've been playing either overseas or Corn Ferry, whatever, different stuff like that. And so I've purposely kind of left off all of that. While I do find that important, what Kelly just mentioned, there are some dudes I really really like. Pearson Cootie, for example, I bet twice already this week. Some of these other dudes that are kind of like up and coming, kind of hot dudes, that just don't have enough qualifying rounds.
Yeah.
And it buries them in the model, right? Well, and so that's kind of why I'm not doing that currently. I will do that once we get like another four or five tournaments into the season, because then they'll have enough rounds to where they can like qualify for all that stuff. But I did want to just mention that I don't, it's not that I don't find those stats important that Kelly just mentioned. It's like, I think my model kind of gets wonky whenever I put those in there.
Go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say quick. The other one, just for if people are kind of starting to do this on their own, absolutely what Matt just said, but the other side of it too, right? Maybe Pearson Cootie's probably a good example, actually. Small sample size, right? Some of these guys could play really well on those types of holes for a few tournaments and rocket up your model when that's not truly representative how good they are.
Yeah.
And you've got to also look at the fact that what time frame are you using? Obviously, we have not a lot of data. Like, there were a couple categories I said, here's what they're doing this season. But yeah, I also included last season a little bit, because if you look at like something I included, which was birdie or better percentage, the leading guy in the field this week is Garrick Higo, birdie or better, 27.89%. But if you look at like this year, Scottie Scheffler's played one event and he was birdie or better 44.4% at the American Express. And so you will get these shorter numbers like bogey avoidance percentage, like Ricky Fowler leads this year 4.17%. But what led the whole season last year was Scottie Scheffler at 10.5%. So keep that in mind, maybe some easier courses, because when you get the whole year, then obviously you get the major championship data. You get the harder courses, you know, Muirfield Village, or where the scoring's a little bit lower at your signature events. And then also your time frame. Look at like, you know, last 50 rounds, which is what I use for a couple things, but last 50 rounds, you might have had guys that date all the way back to like last July. Yeah. It's taking them to get 50 rounds. And then some dudes played a lot in the fall or over on the DP World Tour, so they have a lot more rounds. So you put it in context. Context, I think, tells you everything. But in terms of the categories, approach, strokes gained off the tee, some total driving as well, birdie or better, bogey avoidance. Par fours, 450 to 500. Five of them are in that length, and then two others are just shorter at 442. And then also did I also did some scrambling. And for putting, I used a little putting, but this is like a spike putt week is what it's going to take to win this thing. It usually does. I didn't go because the surface is a little bit weird because it's POA with some bent. You know, it's POA overseed. So I didn't really go because sometimes I like to go, okay, who's good on Bermuda? Who's good on bent grass? Who's good on the Paspalum or whatever it is? But I went with fast greens this week because these will be firm and fast like they are at Scottsdale. So I went fast greens. I know you mentioned Rick Gaiman earlier. Rick Rungood. You can kind of go slow greens, medium, fast greens, or also the type of surface, POA, bent, Bermuda, whatever it is. So that's what I did in terms of the putting, but didn't use a lot of percentage for putting necessarily this week.
Yeah. All right, Kelly Bidlin, since you were not around last week, we will give you the honors here of going in, and you have put in the data. You have weighted it towards what you want. We're still early in the season, so we'll say this for our new listeners and viewers and whatnot. We don't build our own models. We do lean on the expertise of other people. We do put in the categories we find important. We do weight them how we want them to come out and how important they are, but we do not build the bones of these things. People way smarter than us do that. So once you have done that, Kelly, what did your stuff spit out and what did you end up deciding to throw into the account?
Yeah. So just first of all, just kind of where what the model spat out, the, like you said, Matt, Scottie Scheffler, number one, big surprise, big drop down to number two. That's where Cameron Young comes in. And then it's a big drop down again to the rest of the field. So just worth noting, it's early in the season, but worth noting, obviously, as we've talked about, where we're pulling some of these stats and data from, and mainly what I relied on was last 36 rounds. Cam Young has not played 36 rounds this season, so that some of that is pulling back to the fall. This is a good conversation, all coming full circle. I like it. But I am on Cam this week. I wanted to give him – I got close to betting him last week. I stayed away. I always want these guys to get one tournament under their legs first, get a chance to see what they look like before I go in. So did play Cam outright this week, 26-1. I think anything in that above 20-1 is good on him, though. And then also played a top 10 on Cameron Young. He is, let's see, finished T22 last week, gained on approach and off the tee, small loss on the short game stuff last week. Finishes T22 there. Just last 36 rounds of this field, 7th off the tee, 16th on approach, 12th with the putter, 17th birdie or better. He really checks all the boxes this week. T12 and T8 the last 2 years here. Cameron Young outright in top 10 for me. And then returning to a couple guys that I bet last week. And Wes, I know you were on McNealy as well. I'm going right back to him. I think Maverick McNealy is going to be a pretty frequent bet for me early in the season, at least while we're still on the West Coast. This is a guy, I don't think I've been high on Maverick McNealy at any point in his career. We talked a little bit about this on the pod last year, though, where he was just making improvements with that driver, all, you know, consistently over the past year or two, and has gotten that ball speed up there with a lot of these guys. The distance is up there. He's kind of in that top like 30, 40 range now with guys in the, like in a tournament like this. He's like 30th, I think, with driving distance. So look, I think he's got enough distance with the driver now. And he's putting it all together with the in his bag. 10th at the Farmers last week, T24 of the Sony Open. So he was kind of a guy I had circled heading into the year, and he started off hot. So, like, there's a couple guys I'm going back to this week that are basically that same story. 19th off the tee, 19th approach, 6th with the putter. Checks all boxes, off the tee, approach, putting that I'm really focusing on. T9 and T6 here the last 2 years. Played him last week. I think if you played him last week, you probably liked what you got out of him. I'm going right back to McNealy. This week outright 37-1, played a top 10 on him as well at plus 275. Last outright for me is Chris Goderup. I played him last week. I'm going right back to him. Look, guy that won just a few tournaments ago over at the Sony, he's playing courses now. I think they're better designed for his game. The approach will be challenged. He's a guy that's going to have to improve it, you know, as we go along here with that part of his game. But man, I think this is a sneaky good player who, you know, kind of got shut out of the Ryder Cup, and man, he's already come back this year and picked up one win already. I don't want to kind of miss out here on Goderup while he's playing well. So 40-1 on the outright. I mean, one of the biggest hitters that's going to be out there this week, quality putter. 40-1 on the outright, and then I played a top 10 and top 20 with him. And then quickly I'll go through my others here. Two guys I'm going right back to last week. I think all three of us had different pieces of them. Jake Knapp and Pearson Cootie, right back into the top 20s with them. Both those guys have played incredible so far this season. Cootie, it's T2, T18, T13 in his three starts. Jake Knapp, T5 at the Farmers, T11 at the Sony. Right back to both those guys on top 20s this week. And then another podcast favorite, Daniel Berger, top 40 minus 135. And anything else I add, I will throw on VSiN.com. I was doing stuff earlier today with some other shows. I honestly, all the Vegas shops didn't even have everything posted yet by the time I made bets.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you and I will definitely match on some of those guys. So we'll talk about that here. And, in just a second. Wes, what did you end up on when it was all said and done?
Well, I kind of did a little combo platter this week. I went with a couple guys that make sense based on recent form and or course form, and then I went speculative on a couple guys, just playing prices. I started, and I'm with Kelly on one, Maverick McNealy, who you can get in the mid-30s right
now. Well.
Okay, are we getting it ready?
Well.
Yeah, I was like, what do we do again?
Okay. T6, T9 last 2 years here. And I didn't use proximity, but I do. There are some things I don't use that I'll look at in context. He was second, I think, in proximity from 150 to 175. And that's going to be a big range this week on these kind of medium length type par fours. So Matt McNealy was a guy that I felt he's going to keep playing well. And he just made a lot of sense. And I thought maybe was just a tad too high considering the other folks in the field, where I thought maybe he'd get a little bit more respect, like 25, 28. And the fact you get him 35-ish on average and even a little bit higher at a couple places like Circa here in town, I'm willing to go aboard. He was T2 at one point, by the way, in the final round. There we go.
There it is.
He was T2 at one point in the final round.
I also, as well, too. So I'll spill the beans on mine. And it was, you know, everything that both of you have just said. I can go into the fact that he is lights up my model in just about every single thing that we're looking for this week. And like, hell, let's just ride the heater, right? I mean, like, some of these dudes without long-term, like, we've seen this with Mav, obviously. Like, we've seen him play good, and then he'll play bad and play good. But like, until I see long-term, sustained, great play from him, then I'm going to ride the heater, right? And so, like, I don't want to, like, wait too late until he's, like, not playing as good or something. So, same deal with me. Did the old Mav McNealy.
So now we're going to go to the opposite on a guy that's not on a heater. This is one of my speculative plays this week. And it's a guy that has not won since October 2023, even though he's low score at the Tour Championship in 2024. The win equity has been low, but Colin Morikawa, who I saw at 53-1 at Circa this week. I'm like, Colin Morikawa, really? I know he doesn't win as much as he should, but 50+1 in this field when he's still one of the best iron players in the world. Third on approach, by the way, last season. He played once this year. He did miss the cut at the Sony, but he's got pretty good record in desert golf. He's won in Dubai. He's won the Barracuda. Obviously resides here in Vegas. Lost in the playoff at the Summit Club out there when we were out there watching him against Rory down the stretch. TPC Scottsdale, it shouldn't be a bad course for him. He doesn't even have a lot of history here. He's been an infrequent visitor, but Colin Morikawa, I just played. I just thought the number was too high. I can't really make a statistical or model case, but he might be a guy that kind of surprises here. And then we go back to a guy that is on great form. I went Pearson Cootie, who I think Bet Rivers had the high earlier today at 66-1. T2 last week at the Farmers, as Matt was aboard him. I was on him actually at the Amex when he ended up finishing just inside the top 20. 13-8 second over the last 3 weeks. Led the field for SGOTT. Second in greens and regulation last week at Torrey. Driver heavy course, and he was third in this field last season for total driving. And his second off the tee over the last 50 rounds. Very high in birdie or better. Very high in bogey avoidance. So Pearson Cootie, 66-1. And then let's go with another Vegas. We mentioned a Vegas resident with Morikawa. Let's go with Kurt Kitayama, who was eighth here 2 years ago, 75-1. Las Vegas resident, UNLV graduate, so he's played a lot of desert golf. TPC Scottsdale, you're going to hit driver off the tee. That's good news for Kitayama. He was fifth in driving distance last year on the PGA Tour. Top 10 strokes gained off the tee over the last 50 rounds. So Kurt Kitayama, 75-1. And then the number that was disrespectful. I think it started to drop because people started to realize that this was 88-1 this morning at DraftKings. For a guy, by the way, and follow me on a narrative here, Justin Rose, of course, he was number 10 in the official world golf ranking last week, ends up winning. He was like 20 to 25th on the betting board. Well, now I got a guy that's number 12, and I actually went and counted up and down the board on the odds screen, and he was like 34th on the betting board this week. Sepp Straka at 88-1 earlier today at DraftKings. He's got little history here. Top 15 is his best finish here. Missed the cut at the Amex when he was defending his title. But he played 2025. He concluded with decent golf. He was third at the Hero. Remember, of course, he had to, you know, leave one of the FedEx Cup events because he and his wife, they were premature baby delivery. So he had to miss and wasn't all that focused at the Tour Championship. Didn't really get used a lot necessarily for Europe at the Ryder Cup. But Sepp Straka, I thought that number was a little bit disrespectful for a guy that has become a frequent winner. He won at the Truist last year, so he won twice last year. So thought that was a little bit high. And then let's finish out with three triple-digit guys. One that played very well last week, he was T7 in San Diego, where he was second on approach. Let's go with Andrew Novak at 105-1, who was T8 at Scottsdale here 2 years ago. Good finish to 2025, seventh at the RSM, won that Grant Thornton Invitational where the PGA and the LPGA partners up. It was with Lauren Coughlin. And he's a guy that gets on good streaks, by the way, Andrew Novak. Remember last year when he was T3 at the Valero? Then he went runner-up, lost to Justin Thomas down the stretch. I know Kelly was aboard Justin Thomas at that RBC Heritage that got the win. And then he won the Zurich Classic with Ben Griffin. And then he was eighth here in 2024 and then had two immediate top tens after that with Palm Beach in Mexico. So he's a guy that can kind of play in spurts. And I think that continues for Andrew Novak at 105. And then let's go with an international player won here last year. How about Hao Tong Lee at 105-1, who was one of the 10 players that earned his PGA Tour card through the DP World Tour point standings last year. It's been a mixed bag for those guys when they come over here, but Hao Tong Lee's played really good golf, 11th and 8th the last 2 weeks. Man from China, but he's really taken desert golf. He won the Dubai Desert Classic years ago, won the Qatar Masters, or Qatar, last year. And he's got top 10s in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, at Ras Al Khaimah. So this is a guy that's played desert golf very well, 105-1. And then the guy that I poo-pooed and said, oh, this is going to go badly, but ended up getting me with a very small profit due to a top 40. I'm going back to Tony Finau, who was 130-1 earlier today at DraftKings. And I think 120 is kind of where he is right now. Missed the top 10 last week. He was 11th, but he was inside the top 10 for approach. That was his best finish in a calendar year. Also had a hole in one in that first round last Thursday. So runner up here in 2020, lost to Webb Simpson in the playoff, which hurt my feelings because I was on Tony Finau for that particular tournament. Scottsdale resident, he's playing this week in kind of the adopted home event. Hadn't played here actually the last 2 years. So Finau is one of those guys that embraces the crowd too. You've seen him put on jerseys at 16 on that par three and has done that a lot in recent years. So I'm going to stick with him again. I'll have more, obviously, on a placement than I will an outright. So these are proportioned, some of these bombs, not playing a full unit on 130-1 shot. But Tony Finau, I'm really to give him another chance. He showed me maybe a little something last week. It could be a one-week aberration. But I think, maybe he's going to start to at least put consistent finishes together. Whether he contends or not is another question.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, like, here's the deal. It's a guy that we played a lot at much shorter numbers in the past, right? And so it's just kind of like one of those things where you don't want to miss out on all of that. I mean, before we get to mine, guys, a couple of people since I've heard y'all's that didn't make y'all's and didn't make mine, let's get to some popular names that people are going to want to know our thoughts on. And one of those obviously being Xander Schauffele, another one being Victor Hovland. Two guys that didn't make either one of our none of the three of our cards, and certainly big names in all of this. Xander last week, first tournament back, you know, made the switch in the driver to the new Callaway driver, you know, whatever. It's, I don't know. I don't really penalize him too incredibly much for that. We haven't seen Victor yet. I mean, he played fine overseas, but I just never really know what to get to Victor. I'll admit, I didn't really consider either one of these guys.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, no. I'll be honest, not much either. If I felt like there was a major, drift in numbers, I'd be interested. I'm not penalizing these guys. We just really haven't seen them do anything yet. And if I saw something like Wes was able to do, right? Like I should probably be more interested in Colin Morikawa and Seb Straka. Should I bet both those guys at one point earlier in the season? And if you were interested in those type of guys at any point, then yeah, bet numbers like Wes did, I think makes a lot of sense. Out of sight, out of mind, though, Matt. Neither one I really considered too much.
Wes, what about you? Did either one of those even like cross your mind?
Not those two in particular. I mean, they both had solid finishes here in the past, so they could play well on any week. They're all talented players. But in terms of my honorable mentions that I will go with, guys that modeled high that I didn't play, one that we mentioned earlier is former winner here. Actually, Ricky Fowler modeled okay for me here. Mm. And I did consider playing him this week because he kept popping. I kept seeing him. He was one. Keith Mitchell was another guy that was a last minute leadoff for me. Alex Smalley always does because his approach numbers are always good. Yeah. Maybe that's a little bit of a bias. Ben Griffin of kind of the, you know, shorter price guys that have been winning frequently lately. He was up there a little bit. Harry Hall, but that was mainly for like a lot of the around the green stuff and a lot of the putting, as it usually is. He's tremendous at that. Kelly played one. Chris Goddard up. So those are kind of some honorable mentions for me. Christian Bezuidenhout actually as well. But every time I bet that guy, he never contends. So week. Watch him be on the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday. But every time I bet that guy, it's like, man, he just pops everywhere. And then he ends up like T36.
Yeah, so for me, now I've got a little bit of data. I've got a little bit of feeling here. I got a little whatever. So I'm okay with heading into some of the markets outside of just outright. From the outright perspective, like we said, Matt McNealy started the card for me. Wes, I also ended up on Kurt Kitayama. Kitayama for me was no lower than fifth in every version of every model that I ran. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? But like, yeah, no lower than fifth in every single version of all of that. And so again, if we're kind of going to focus on dudes that are good off the tee, dudes that are pretty long, dudes that score well on par fives and give themselves opportunities, like Kurt Kitayama is going to be inside the top 20 in nearly like every single one of those categories. And if he was higher in bogey avoidance, he probably would have been like third in every single model. The problem is just kind of middle of the field here when it comes to that statistic, but everything else, Kitayama really, really good. And so I'm probably, let me get prefaces. Scotty's going to win the tournament. So let me preface this. Like Scotty's going to win the tournament. So like I am playing these in just the hopes that Scotty falters a little bit, but I'm going to try to find ways to play these dudes and other head to heads, three balls, whatever it might be, play some more. I'm going to try to find a way to make money off of these guys that I think can play well here, but just might get overmatched by Scotty when he just completely takes over. So did play an outright of him. I played an outright on Sahith. So this is a guy that 2 years ago, obviously we bet a ton, was on the up and up, all the like Golfnik guys who knew him like coming up through college and all stuff like that were like, this dude's going to be the next big thing, he is amazing, yada yada. And then he kind of like had a down year last year, but he's really gotten it back together so far on the short season. And I'm really just trying to get out ahead of this, right? Because if he did find it and he's living up to that potential that all these guys thought that he was going to be able to have, then we're not going to get numbers at this like for him this long anymore, like really, you know, anytime soon, outside of, you know, obviously the major or something, but like, you know, in tournaments like this, we're not going to get those type of numbers. So trying to get ahead of Sahith a little bit.
Yeah. His two finishes well this year already, Matt, better than anything he did last season.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, trying to get ahead of maybe an arc here for him, kind of coming back around, finding something here in the offseason. And honestly, the last one for me, and this is strictly a model play, and he's done absolutely nothing to deserve me betting him, but he showed up in the model pretty high. I dig in, whatever. It's a 200-to-1 shot on Michael Brennan. I mean, like, he's inside the top 12 in one of the versions. This one right here, he's 15th. This one right here, he's 9th, because I think I increased, like, I think I put, like, ball speed or something in there. He, like, crushes it off the tee. The guy's, like, got insane freaking ball speed and stuff and things like that. So, again, he's been ass, like, this year so far, but got disqualified this past week. If y'all are, like, he... So this is how stupid golf is, guys. So he has a green book, right?
I saw this story. Yeah.
you can go in and you can be like, oh, the green breaks this way and whatever. And you can draw the little arrows and all the things and all that, like which way the green breaks, if you're doing it from your memory. But if someone else tells you about it and you put it in there, then that is illegal. And so he turned himself in. And he got disqualified from the tournament because it wasn't from his memory that the green was where the greens break and the different things and all of stuff like that. So anyway, got disqualified last week because of all of that, but he's 200-to-1. His game is there. He's just is so incredibly inconsistent. Like if he ever has a spike week, he's probably going to contend, but you know, he's your classic dude that, like I said, if your outright bet on him is $25, put in $5 bets. And then if he happens to contend, then you can just cash out one of them. You'll make a ton of money. He's 200-to-1. So you'll make a lot of money off him. You let the other 20 ride, but you'll at least make all your money back on him, like off of the one little bet or whatever and stuff like that. So just, you know, go in that direction with him. I played Cam Young top 20. I played Siwoo top 20. I played Pearson Cootie top 20. Those are all plus money on all of those guys. So I played all three of those top 20. I was probably a week too early on Cam Young last week, but didn't play badly.
No,
now he's got a tournament under his belt. Yeah. This tournament fits him great. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't surprise me if he actually won. He might be in contention for me for one and done this week, but I haven't really zeroed completely in on that. I played Cootie over Thorbjørnsen in a head-to-head. I played McNealy over Hovland in a head-to-head, and I played Sahith over Spieth in a head-to-head. So I have all three of those in head-to-heads. And then the last one I played, so I have no regrets in all of this, and it's only 16-to-1, and I will laugh all the way to the bank if it hits. I played Scotty wire-to-wire, 16-to-1.
Yeah, I think I'm going to
probably worse bets.
So if he goes out and just goes nuclear, and I never have a chance from day one, at least like I can cash a Scotty wire-to-wire bet. So like, you
wait,
know,
what
like
was the number again?
16-to-1.
16. Yeah, I circled. I think I'm going to bet him first round leader. It's like 10-to-1. It's kind of surprised it was that long. It like,
yeah.
I was talking to Byron Lindekew today. I was on the Fantasy Degenerates podcast with him. He was going over first round scoring numbers. Scottie Scheffler, what he's doing in the first round. It's like in 2025, average 3.6 strokes gained over the field in the first round. It's insane.
So, let me say this, and he is market best plus 240 to win the tournament. And I get it. All four rounds, the cream rises to the top and all of that, and I get why the price is what it is. But at DraftKings right now, end of round one, top 10, he is plus 144.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, I understand – all four rounds, the best player is going to win the tournament. That's, you need all four rounds. That's why you play four rounds and golf's weird and all of that. But like, Scotty very rarely has an off round. Like, he very rarely plays terrible. And so like, it's plus 240 for him the whole tournament. It's plus 144 for him to be top 10 in the first round. Like,
I started looking at those
like that too. Seems like something you could get exposure to him, and then you don't have to worry about him like he's like we said, this thing going to a playoff and him happening to lose in a playoff or something or whatever.
It's astonishing to see him minus 330. I know Xander Schauffele is not in like peak form, but for Xander Schauffele to be like 265 as an underdog is in a matchup to anybody. These are like absurd prices. I'm just looking up and down the matchup. You know, like minus 130, minus 140, minus 150, you know, typical prices on matchup. And just to see him, you know, I know he's only got to beat one player, but to be laying like 330 to 350 in a matchup is obscene. So that's how good the guy is.
Yeah. The other one I wanted to bring up before I forgot, for any of those of you out there that are listening or watching with DraftKings access, Matt, I'm not sure if you caught this too, but they've started posting first round leader markets without Scheffler. Take a very close look at these numbers, because we'll just use Xander Schauffele, 32-1 in the regular first round leader market. Guess what? He's 32-1 in the one without Scheffler. So I think the smartest thing I'm ever going to say on this podcast is, if you can play the same number in a market without Scotty Scheffler as compared to a market with Scotty Scheffler, I'm going to go with the one without.
Yeah. I think that's a really sharp take right there.
Thanks, Kelly. Man. Thanks. I appreciate it. How about this one, Wes? Sorry, real quick. Hideki, 38-1 in round one leader. Round one leader without, he's 39-1.
For a two-time winner here, by the way, Hideki. Yeah. And speaking of a former winner, I did want to ask this before we conclude here. I've seen a lot of support from people I respect on Brooks Koepka this week. You know, and he actually hit the ball very solid, made the cut last week, but I think was ranked dead last in putting. Oh, now these are different.
He putted like ass. Yeah. I mean, complete ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the bumpy POAs, and this is a little bit of the overseed. So you would think he'd be a little bit better. But I saw a lot of people supporting him. Like, he's matched up in most markets. Obviously, different books have different matchups, but he's matched up against Daniel Berger. And like, Daniel Berger has been getting hammered in the matchup market against Brooks. So with Brooks, I'm going to have to wait and see a little bit. I'm not fading him. I'm kind of like avoiding it. Like, I'm not touching him right now, because I wouldn't be shocked if he played well, because he's won here before and he's contended another time as well. But man, that putting, and that putting struggled on LIV too, by the way. So this isn't just like a 1 week thing. So I got to wait to see more, but a lot of people I respect supported him this week.
So I'll put it this way. When you build a model over at DataGolf, it will calculate what then your odds are on a player. So the market high on Brooks right now is 45-1. And with the stuff that I found important and that I liked and things and whatever, he is 165-1 according to my odds. So like, if that says anything, what I think about him in this or whatever, it's damn near four times the odds of what he's going off at.
Yeah. Wes, I'm going to say I'm completely with you. Simpatico with you, buddy. I'm going to wait and see. I heard a couple people mention his name this week too, that I was a little surprised by. Look, do I think there's a better chance that he finds success here than Torrey Pines? Yeah, I do. Despite what I saw last week, just the success at this golf course, I think the green set up a little better for him as well. So I won't be shocked if he plays well, but I'm completely fine losing out to Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. If I lose to Brooks Koepka, then whatever. So be it. Yeah. I'm not lying. Yeah. Like, especially at 45-1. Yeah. Like, you can get Pearson Cootie at 70-1 right now at FanDuel. Pearson Cootie is playing exponentially better golf than Brooks Koepka. And like, you can literally get like, his win equity is so much higher than Brooks's is right now. And you're getting way better odds on him than you are like whatever. So again, yeah, it's just, to me, the odds don't matter. It's Super Bowl week, so let's just make a football comparison.
There are several guys, by the way, you mentioned that, like, that it's like Colin Morikawa shouldn't be longer than Brooks Koepka. Neither should Corey Connors. Neither should Pearson Cootie. Neither maybe really should. You can argue Jordan Spieth, perhaps. I've seen some people support him, but he's like the same odds as JJ Spaun and some of these Brooks Koepkas. And, you know, by the way, the U.S. Open champion, J.J. Spaun, who's continued to play well, even though I know he missed the cut last week. And that's one thing, too, about, like, missing cuts. Because sometimes, you know, I'll fall habit to this. I'll get in that form line. It's like, okay, how's a guy doing the last six weeks, last 12 weeks? Justin Rose, by the way, missed the cut at the Amex. So, yeah. You know, don't be afraid to play a guy that missed the cut like the week before. You know, you always like that consistent form like we get with somebody like a Pearson Cootie coming in. But if you got a guy that missed the cut last week, especially early in the season when we don't have a lot of tournaments and we don't have a lot of data, these numbers will drift way too high on some of these guys.
Matt, finish the comp.
You guys. What's that, Kelly?
Finish the comp. Where are you going with? Like an NFL player?
Yeah. So like, this is everyone trying to make the case for the Patriots winning this week, which they're going to get the shit kicked out of them. Like this is what's going on here. It's like everyone is like just making the case for Brooks Koepka because Brooks is back and like all the things, whatever. So like, we got to remember, Brooks only won majors as it was anyway. Like Brooks didn't play good on a week to week basis on the PGA Tour when he was there. Like, and everyone's like trying to like be like, oh, Brooks Koepka's back, and also it's like, dude, he didn't play good on a week to week basis anyway. Like, I mean, this wasn't like a guy that we knew every time he teed it up was going to go out and light it on fire. Like, that was not who Brooks Koepka was, and we have such a short memory with all of this. He's frigging 30 something at DraftKings. Like, he's frigging like 30 something or whatever at DraftKings. It's insane. So. No, that's not going to happen. A couple guys for me that I'll either have like pick 'em or DFS or some sort of other because like they were so close. I just can't get to an hour. Like I said, I'm playing the vibes on Ricky Fowler. I'll have some sort of Ricky Fowler in some way, shape, or form.
I'm glad
Matt McCarty is a guy that I actually might end up getting to in an outright perspective if I can find the right number or whatever. Model really, really liked him. A lot of stuff with him. And Wes, I know I was on him last week, but Nikolai Højgaard modeled just incredibly well for me again. He makes too many damn bogeys or whatever. And but you know, if he can figure out a way to not, everything else about his game is really, really good. I don't know. Maybe I can find a three ball, head to head that I like or something there. Maybe he just, again, goes into DFS lineups or whatever it might be. But, these are all guys that were like right there. So, you know, again, if you're trying to round out a DFS lineup, if you're trying to whatever and all that, like these are all guys that I did like, but haven't figured out how I want to.
I'll have Fowler in like a top 20 or a top 30. I typically earlier in the season go conservative on these where I'm not playing the fives and the tens. I'll play 20, 30, 40 is kind of in my wheelhouse, but it would not shock me to say Ricky Fowler play really, really well this week.
Apparently, my brain is just hardwired to be so anti-Fowler that thank God you guys brought him up, because I guess I just skipped right by him. And absolutely, where he rates out for me, he is worth a play of some kind. So, yeah, I think I will be adding a top 20 as well.
And finally, the guy that if he plays super well, you're going to hate yourself, I will go with, and let me click on 1, 2, 3, 4 different models. He is not outside the top 10 in all four, but I'm scorned. I'm a lover scorned. Where I'm not playing Rico Hoey this week. I'm not doing it. It's not happening. He's inside the top 10 in every single freaking model and all the whatever. Number one in total driving in this. He's freaking fourth in good drive percentage. He's fifth in opportunities gained, all the things. He's all the things. I'm not going there. Yeah. So if he plays well, I'm going to hate myself. This is Kelly, like, who if he plays well, you're going to hate yourself.
Dude, calm down. It's like there's worst three tournament stretch in like a year and a half right now. So yeah, you should get away from the guy. Okay. He burns us enough when he's like number one in our models at random small dinky tournaments. Okay. Let's wait for the ball striking to return. Okay. The guy. This one, I got really close to doing something with this guy. I didn't. It will hurt if he ends up winning this thing, is Hideki.
Okay.
Yeah. He rated out very highly for me. And just especially when you just always get stumped by a guy like that, right? When you're factoring in so much off the tee. I'm even looking at putting stats this week, and he's still rating out high for me. It's just, that one caught my attention. There's some other guys. Wes named a lot of Merler that did kind of pop high that I didn't really consider much, and I'm not betting against either, like, you know, Hovland, Sam Burns, Ben Griffin, those type of guys. Siwoo and Hideki were my last two leave-offs. I just can't. Like, I can't get there on this Siwoo number, but look, I bet a lot of these guys, like, in my opinion, there's way worse things you can do at the beginning of a golf season than playing guys that are hot straight out of the gate at multiple tournaments. And Siwoo's as hot as anybody out there right now. So I got really close to doing a top 20 or something with him, but I'm going to stay away, I think.
Who is your going to hate yourself guy?
Yeah, my two actually, one is Sam Burns, because I'm always worried about that spike putting week.
Yeah.
And nobody can have him like Sam Burns. I think he's one of the best pure putters on the PGA Tour on any surface, too. It's not just he's called Bermuda Burns, right? But yet his Bendgrass numbers are terrific. So, you know, you never know. And then I've been trying to time this guy, Matt. We've talked about it. He's going to win at some point this year on the tour and get that first win. Michael Thorbjørnsen.
Yeah.
Concerned. Yeah. I'm like, man, because I feel this guy's got the goods and this guy's got the talent. But what he may need to do this year is get close in a competitive event, not one of the alternate events like Puerto Rico or the Corrales Punakan or something against a really strong field and get close and fall short. And he's going to learn from that and then he's going to win. But his talent is there. Like I've seen him as high as 66 to 1. He was somebody that's always going to model because I think he's had consistent form. But Thorbjørnsen for me.
If you're playing DFS as well, one other guy, he's team no putt, but like he can have a spike week like he did last week at the Farmers. Like Ryu Hosatsune, he's team no putt. He can't putt at all, but like he just had a spike week. He gained 4 strokes putting. He usually loses, and like that's why he doesn't ever finish high. But like he's only 6,900, and so maybe he figured something out. Like if you wanted to, again, you're kind of rounding out a DFS lineup. He's sub 7,000, which makes it easy to get Scotty into a lineup. And like, you know, you're going to want to make Scotty in your line. You're going to want to have Scotty in your lineup. So he's another guy that I think is kind of out there. But as Kelly mentioned, any additional plays that we make will be over at VSiN.com. So you can go in, be sure and hit up that picks page. We're running a special right now for the Superb Owl 60, where you're going to get $60 off of a year subscription. So go in and take advantage of that offer that we've got going on right now. So you can get all of our picks over the entire course of the season. Wes's write-ups as well, part of that VSiN Pro. And then everything that's going on in the sports world, you can get over there at VSiN.com.
Hey, Matt, real quick.
As well.
You like Maverick McNealy for first round leader? Just say yes.
Sure, let's do it. Sure.
All right, so you can bet up 43-1 in the round one leader market, or you can bet up 45-1 in the one without Scotty Scheffler.
Which one are you going to do? The one without Scott.
Yeah, you should do that. You should do that. Someone go, just go nuke DraftKings. Like, just go bet the shit out of these. It's so absurd.
Yeah, everyone just go and take advantage. Go forth and prosper, you know, as we would like you to do here on all this. If you are joining us over on the YouTube channel, hello, appreciate it. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button. We're going to build this channel up. And if we get enough of you subscribing this thing, who knows, we're gonna do, maybe we'll do some live stuff, we'll do some crazy stuff, we'll add some different little videos and everything and all of that. So get us to critical mass, and then we're going to be doing more content here on all that. And of course on the audio side, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button and giving us 5 stars as well. For Wes, for Kelly, I am Matt. Good luck on all your waste management bets.
Oh, I hit it late. Matt Brown office giveaway. Kelly will go into Matt's place and randomly select an item to give away from giveaway.
That'll be, yeah, there we go. I like it.
I'll rob Matt's house and just steal one item that will give away.
Do one of those things.
Yeah. He won't even be able to tell you. I'll have no idea what's missing.
Or whatever.
Who are the action figures in your background, Matt?
I love it.
I see some action figures back there.
Bruce Lee down there.
Yes.
Rampage Jackson and Tito Ortiz.
Oh, okay.